Welcome to Career Tools. This week, assessment centers, team problem solving. You're going to be surprised. Here we go. Folks at Career Tools, we talk about two things for your career, results and relationships. And our Effective Relationships product is about exactly that. How to get better results by having better relationships. If you've ever worked with someone who irritated you, if you've ever worked with someone who you just naturally click with, that's probably because your profiles were very different or very similar. If you're working with somebody different than you, you need to know the basic behaviors that you take for granted that they don't, and what behaviors you can engage in to work more effectively with them. Each of the casts in the series, and there are over 30 of them, are 3 hours long and have 20-page show notes. And when you buy the cast, you also get the show notes with it. We encourage you to take a look at Effective Relationships. Just go to the website. So I used to not like assessment centers because I thought they were just reasons for companies to find different ways to say no because they weren't any good at interviewing. I've since learned that the better companies tend to use them and they're broadening the skills that they're looking at mm-hmm. in a different way. And so I actually like them now. We've talked about them before in terms of role play exercise and we talked about the basics. But in some cases, they do team problem solving exercises.
They do.
They put you with 4 or 5 other people and you inevitably get the case of there's a very small piece of prey and the group tears at the prey together, which is very bad, by the way. So what are we going to talk about?
First of all, read the information carefully. Second, think about what's being assessed.
Because you're going to get that wrong, probably. Yeah.
Choose what role to play in the context of the job, which sounds quite complicated, but it's less complicated when we explain it. And don't look for a right answer.
Yeah, too many people spend too much time looking for a right answer. And we're going to recommend some specific behaviors here around interacting with others, which is a huge part of the assessment that nobody ever seems to worry about. Okay, you said read the information carefully, right? Now, I assume part of that is because it's just, you get it right away, you're timed, and people are rushing through it.
Yeah, often you get like 5 minutes just to read the instructions or 10 minutes, depending on how long they are. And like every test you've ever taken, your brain's thinking, I have to do well. And it's not concentrating on what's written down. So just taking a breath and reading the instructions carefully.
By the way, one of the things I learned from one of my mentors in the military was, if you're under pressure and the guidance is take a breath, what you should do is tell a joke to yourself. Mm-hmm. You could make a joke, a self-deprecatory joke along the lines of, oh great, no time at all. And make yourself laugh, because laughter is actually good for cleansing your mind of other thoughts. And it may in fact introduce some levity with the group as well. Don't do this if you don't know how to tell jokes or you can't tell a good one-liner, but I do it all the time. I say, okay, here we go. Good luck, right? And try to get a laugh simply to cleanse your mind a little bit. Okay, yeah. Go ahead.
And most of the assessment centers, these kind of exercises don't have something in there to trip you up.
Yeah.
There's no deliberate sort of piece that's there to make you go wrong, but there are assumption traps.
Yeah.
There are things that where you may assume something because you haven't read it carefully enough, and that may lead you down the wrong path.
You and I laughed recently when we saw a story about they were doing a test to see how well resumes went, and a resume was perfectly crafted for a particular job from somebody who had done the job and had been brilliant at it. And at the very last line of the resume said something like, this resume is completely fake. Call me if you got this far. And very few of the HR people did. By the same token, many people have heard the joke about the test instructions would say at the very end, now that you've read through the instructions, do nothing further until the instructor tells you what to do next. Yeah. Don't engage in the exercise. That's not going to happen here, folks. They're not trying to do that. If they say they're going to give you a role play or a team problem-solving thing, that's exactly what it is. It's exactly the reason for it. Now, it says here, you know, don't take too long to read. You're given 5 to 10 minutes. Actually, in my experience, it's almost always been 5. And the first thing I say is read through it at a high level one time. Mm-hmm. As quickly as you can. Now, I know some people are fast readers, some people are slow readers. I happen to be a fast reader, but read through it all the way through real quickly one time so you can get a sense of the parameters of the game you're playing. If you're playing football or baseball or basketball or actual football, you know by definition the parameters of the field, the rules, everything else. You don't know that here. And what ends up happening is a lot of people go real slowly making sure they're checking on everything and they don't get to the end.
Yeah.
It's not that there are any Easter eggs at the end, but rather you read through it once very quickly, like in a minute and a half, and then you take the next 3.5 minutes and go back through it again.
Knowing what's important.
Exactly, yeah, in the same way that when you send emails, you should have the question first, right? And I think too many people go slowly and deliberately. They say, okay, I'm a high C, I'm a detail person, so I'm gonna go slowly and deliberately through it, and then they'll get through the first half. And then they end up arguing with somebody who read through it all the way and realizes that something that's in the second half is really, really important.
Yeah. So one of the things that will help you here is wearing a watch. Clearly, you won't be, especially if there's no clocks in the interview room, which sometimes there aren't, you have no idea how much 5 minutes.
And they won't give you time hacks.
No. You will have no idea how long 5 minutes is.
You're saying they're going to be nervous, and so their sense of time will be messed up?
Yeah,
really?
Absolutely.
Are you not that confident about the people who listen to us? Really? And you're also saying wear a watch. I thought we said that one time, that everybody should wear a watch.
So we did.
Everyone is wearing a watch, right? That's what I see all the time. Everybody wears a watch. Oh, my gosh. No one. No one wears a watch. And there's something worse than that, guys. Some of you are listening right now and kind of going, well, Mark's old, and he wears a watch because old people wear watches. Yeah, I know. It's funny. Every billionaire I know wears a watch. But in addition, you're thinking, I have my phone. Well, there's several factors here to consider. One is you may not have your phone because your phone is web-enabled, probably, if it's a smartphone. And that means you would be cheating if you looked at your phone to try to look up an answer. Secondly, they may take your phone away from you for that very reason. They may also take away the phone so that you don't have the phone as a clock. And I'm amazed at the number of times there's nobody in a group that has a watch. Mm-hmm. And when you realize that nobody has a watch, when you ask, does anybody have a watch, and nobody does, the anxiety level goes way up.
Yep.
And so if you have a watch, you say right away when you're starting, I have a watch, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And by the way, if you have a watch and they give you 5 minutes, at 4 minutes in, say, hey guys, we got one more minute, right?
Yeah. Because part of this is a team problem solving.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Even though this is a competition
for
the job, the essence of this is to show that you're part, you can be part of a team, and that means helping other people.
Yeah, I wrote somewhere once that it's okay to be competitive in the workplace, but let's remember you should know your competitors and respect them, because what you're competing for, you're not competing against your competitors, you're competing for the customer. And it's just a fundamental mind shift. So if you have a watch, if you had the watch and you looked at your watch and you knew how much time you had and you didn't say anything to anyone else, if I was watching, I'd consider that be withholding information from your teammates.
Yeah, I'd minus that.
Okay, good. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a phrase I'd minus that. Boom, right there.
Yeah.
Okay?
Okay, and then the other thing, if you haven't, sometimes you're forbidden from doing this, but if you haven't been, take out your pen and underline the important bits.
Wait,
you focus.
You're telling them they should have a pen?
Yes, you should have a pen.
So in other words, if they're wearing a suit, which of course they would be, because we've said that once.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, we've said it 1 billion times. Then you would just reach into your coat pocket and you'd pick out a thing. And I'll tell you a story very briefly. I was at a conference recently and somebody said, you know, Mark, I got a job. Actually, and the reason I'm here is because I got this job with this company because of the interviewing series. And he said, I was very surprised in the interviewing series where you talked about the fact that suit coat pockets are not sewn shut on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
That I think we talked in the interviewing series about the fact that they're tacked shut so that they will lay flat on the shelf and it won't get messed up. It won't start to bag if it sits on the shelf. It sits on the rack for a while. But in fact, one of the first things you do when you buy a suit is you stick
take
a knife
the
down there.
Stitches.
You take out the tacking stitches and therefore you can use it. And I've had hundreds of people say to me, no, on this suit, they're not actually pockets. Yeah, actually, they are. And that's where your pin goes, by the way. Yeah. Okay?
Absolutely.
Good.
Yeah, so and the other good thing about being able to underline, if you're allowed to, is it does help you concentrate. And,
and
you know, that second track in your brain of, oh my gosh, I've got so much time, I must do well, all that stuff. It does help you concentrate and kind of get over that.
Yeah. Okay, good. Now you're saying think about what's being assessed.
Yeah.
And I would say think about it, but it's actually easier. Just listen to what they tell you, right? I mean, that's a good one.
This is a test of your ability to work in a team.
Yes. Yeah. And we'll talk more about what those behaviors are in just a minute. But one of the first things you do is listen carefully to what they say, but then you also recommend reading carefully.
Yeah, and what you need to do is read the scenario, but also at the same time be thinking about the job that you're applying for, that you're interviewing for, because there are certain skills that you know are in the job that they may or may not be testing for in this scenario. If you're going to an all-day thing, different things are tested in different activities, but communication skills are always being assessed. The ability to work with others is always being assessed. It may be that this is a logical, rational type problem, right. In which case it's logical and rational, and right. You need to show that.
Right.
But you've got to kind of think of it as a context so that you know what behaviors you're going to display in the active part of the session.
And a phrase, generally, folks, we'll try to pepper this cast with plenty of examples of phrases to say, because you thinking through the answer in your head and having a perfect answer, until you verbalize the answer, which, by the way, we wouldn't recommend you do, you're getting no credit for that. Mm-hmm. You have to actually behave. And a phrase that doesn't help you is, I know this, or I've done this, or I've seen this. Okay, that doesn't help, because then they perceive you as taking charge, which, again, leadership is something that usually is not being assessed. If you're being assessed as a leader, they're going to probably give you some psychological tests, and they're going to interview you in grueling one-on-one interviews. But saying, I've got this, or I know this, or I've seen this before, isn't helpful. It seems braggadocio.
Yeah,
it completely dismisses everyone else's input.
And you're being tested for being a team, and dismissing everyone else's is...
If you were going to say something generic to start after you made the self-deprecatory joke in order to relax yourself and perhaps others, you would say, we can do this. Yeah. Or you could say, this is going to be fun, right? But not, I've got this, I know this, I've seen this, I can do this. I, in fact, generally speaking, you want to be careful about the amount of I's you throw out there. Mm-hmm. We can do this. Or this is going to be fun. Neither one of those have I. But I've seen this, I know this, I've done this. All those are about you.
Absolutely. Okay?
Yeah, so you're saying leadership is not being assessed, so you don't have to be the leader. You don't have to try to be the one in charge.
And you don't have to do what my dad would call bossy boots thing of allocating everybody a job and organizing people and telling them what to do. Is probably too much in one of these team things. On the other hand, you don't want to be the shrinking violet. If nobody is volunteering to be the person who writes on the whiteboard, volunteer.
Right. Yeah, in fact, if you feel like the group is hanging back for whatever reason, and by the way, if the group is together when it gets briefed, before the scenario starts, introduce yourself to everybody else. Say, hi, I'm Mark. Hi, I'm Wendy. Say hello and lower the interpersonal tension that happens when a group knows it's going to be assessed against one another and there are no bonds formed. I talked to the people at the DC conference this week that the reason we do introductions at the beginning of our conferences is because even though Mike and I hate them, we do what's effective because that's what we're supposed to do, not what we like to do. We don't like introductions, but we know that learning is emotional and social. All the data point to it. We don't think that, we're engineers, but the fact is it's true and we embrace reality around here and so we do it. Same thing here, you ought to introduce yourself. And if you're thinking nobody else is introducing themselves before it gets started, go ahead and introduce yourself. Then once it starts, okay, you're right, you don't want to shrink back. If you feel like you're the one that needs to take charge, and that can happen, if you're one out of five people and you take 20 of these, one out of every five times, assuming randomness, you're gonna be the one that's in charge. And if that's the case, then what you can say, rather than saying, why you do this and you do this and you do this, you could say, Bob, would you be willing to do this? Does someone have good handwriting that they could be the whiteboard person? Or would someone be willing to take notes? Mm-hmm. Okay. And if you ask, would someone be willing to take notes in a pleasant tone of voice and nobody says anything, what you say is, well, okay, I'll do that. That's fine. And frankly, if you then said, would anyone be willing to kind of keep track of time if you're not the one with the watch and no one volunteers, you're gonna get credit for asking those questions in a way that's solicitous rather than being in charge. But if you say, I need somebody to volunteer for time, I need somebody to take notes, I need somebody to do this, would you do that? Point blank to people, you're gonna end up being perceived, as your dad would say, as bossy boots.
Yeah.
Okay, good. And you high Ds, you're gonna wanna take charge. And the solution is not always to take charge.
Yeah.
Okay?
And one thing you can do if you are allowed to write on your paper is just to write down in some kind of shorthand what you think is being assessed. Just so that the next time you look down at your paper, you're reminded. Right. So if you feel like, you know, you're 10 minutes in and you look down at your paper and you think, oh, I forgot, they're judging something, communication skills, and I've only said 3 things, that will remind you to speak up.
Let's talk about something else. I'll tell you what else I write down, and what I have scored people positive for writing down, is the names of other people in the group.
Oh, nice.
Not everybody has on name tags. Actually, I've discovered that name tags make it worse. When you put name tags on people, there's an assumption that because the name tag is there, you should either see it or you should have known the name because you've seen it a couple of times, and so people actually ask less often. Without name tags, people assume, I don't know this person, so I'm going to go ahead and ask them their name. And I promise you, one of the behaviors that will give you plus points is if you can't remember somebody's name, again, write them down before, you know, once it starts, write down everybody's name in the corner so you can remember. And then, and even better, write them in a circle in the order in which people are sitting, best of all, if you have that much time. If you can't write them down, or if it's against the rules, or you forget to do it, if you forget someone's name, say, I'm so sorry, I've forgotten your name. And we have an entire podcast about that, by the way. People ask me about that all the time. I don't remember people's names terribly well. I remember some people's names. I don't think I'm terribly good at it. But what I am good at is being willing to admit I was wrong, and people forgive and forgive and forgive and forgive. Yeah. And when I say, I'm so sorry, I forgot your name, and you say, I'm Wendy, I say, okay, I'm Mark. And I take the burden off of you to asking me back, okay, and sorry, what's your name? Mm-hmm. And there will be others who think that you've committed a mistake by admitting you don't know people's names. And the assessors will know that they don't use anybody's name, and they will get bigger negatives while you get positives.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so then the next thing to do, still in the preparation time, is to choose what role to play in the context of the job. So if you think, if you're going for a job as a team member in a call center, you're just going to be the person who answers the phone. There's going to be 50 of you in a team. The calls come in, you just answer what's coming in. Then it's unlikely that you're being judged for leadership skills.
Right.
It's much more likely that you're being judged for communication skills in stressful situations.
Right.
And so that's the role you want to play.
And therefore, don't get bothered if some high D is in the room and is pushing to be the leader.
Yeah, right? Let them.
It's not, they may get their jollies with that, and it may in fact help them. And guys, I think a lot of times there's an assumption here that it is a zero-sum game. One person wins and everybody else loses. Not true. You're being compared, again, the comment I made earlier, you're not competing with your competitors, you're competing for the customer. If they're bringing in enough people to do an assessment center, there's not one opening. There's multiple openings. Yeah. You don't have to worry that it's a competition against each other. You have to play against what you believe the rules are, as we say, within the context of the job.
Yeah.
Okay? Yeah, so you're saying demonstrate communication skills, right?
Yeah.
Which means sometimes asking questions, sometimes making statements. I'll tell you something else, too. I call these process statements to process. There's actually a technical name for them, and I'm forgetting it. Something like statements to process, where you essentially acknowledge that something has been done by someone else. You can say, that's a good thought. Now, most people would say, oh, that's a compliment. But actually, in behavioral science, it's not just a compliment. It is group dynamic grease is really, by the way, that's not the official title of it either.
The
idea of being able to say, oh, that's a great idea, or I hadn't thought of that, or thanks, Jim, is really powerful. Something else, when you put an idea out there, you might want to say, this occurs to me, or what about this in advance of it? Sometimes you can say, I think it might be 5, or my guess was 9, or pretty sure it's 8, or I'm pretty sure it should be the X rather than Y. You can say that some of the time, and then you can also say, would anyone else agree that it's probably X and not Y? Or how does it sound to you guys that it's X and not Y? Now, all of you, some of you are listening and going, well, that's just a statement about X versus Y. No, it's not. You are positing a piece of information, a thought you have, an opinion you have, X versus Y, and that's positing it in several different ways, all of which can be perceived differently by the assessors. And if all you do is say, I think it's X, or I think it's 5, or this one should be blue, you're going to be perceived as opinionated. If you compliment, I think it should be X, I think it should be Y, this one's blue, it's definitely 5, okay, as a way of showing decisiveness, and you never ever say about anybody else, oh, that's a good idea, or thank you for that, or I hadn't thought of it that way, all these phrases work. If you don't say those things, you're going to be perceived as opinionated, narrow-minded, and singular.
Yep.
And if it's a team assessment, and by the way, there are other people in the room, so it's a team assessment, then you're not going to do well. You might in fact pass, but what you'll also get later in the scenario is people gunning for you. If you repeatedly state your opinion and you don't say anything that gives statements to process relative to the team's interpersonal process of working together, if there's no compliments, if there's no acknowledgement statements of things other people say that you agree with, as opposed to just saying, I agree, which is almost like, I bless your input here, you're going to be perceived as singular. And that's not a good thing in an assessment center or in a team environment.
And if you don't think that all of the interstitial moments are being watched, then you're very wrong. So if you upset everybody by being very high D, which is exactly what I would do,
At
lunchtime, everyone's standing around in a group and you're not in that group, that's noticed.
Yeah. When I went to work at Procter & Gamble, they made me work in the field for like 4 or 5 weeks to understand sales, which meant I didn't know what I was doing. I just smiled a lot and busted my tail. And then they sent me to Cincinnati for training. And in my training, partially because I was the oldest guy in the class, most of them were college graduates, 21, 22, but I was 27 and had spent 5 years in the Army. I got elected president of my sales class, of my sales training class. I think it was like a week long. It may have been 10 days. I don't remember precisely. I still remember some of the people in the class. And we had spent one day together, and then our mentor told us, hey, you guys need to elect somebody that we can communicate through rather than this. By the way, guys, this is before email, just saying, putting it out there, before cell phones. It was very quickly established that I would be the team lead. And I assumed it was because of my age. And so I asked this guy who was actually had been a law student, got out, gotten sick of the law. His name was Jay. And I said, Jay, is it just because I'm older? And he said, no. When we were in the meeting, you kept asking people what other people thought. He said, dude, I would never do that. I don't care what anybody else thinks. I've always been the smartest guy in the room. In fact, Proctor Hire is the smartest guy in the room. It was the first time I was made aware of what had happened to me over 5 years, the organic change that we all go through, our growth process, is that I was engaging in different behaviors. I thought I was smart when I was 21. I thought I was smart when I was 27. But clearly, I had learned how to engage in behaviors that were respectful or complimentary or seem to be leadership behaviors. I'll never forget that moment. He says, no, you do all the things leaders are supposed to do. I'm like, oh, okay. And it occurred to me, oh, it really is about behavior, isn't it? It's not being about smartest in the room. It's not about analytical. It's not about being in charge like a captain in the Army. That was very, very powerful. And I've never forgotten. And of course, now Manager Tools is built on behavior. Okay. You mentioned before, think about what the assessment is for. What if you can't tell?
Assume it's for communication skills.
Okay.
Because there is no job, I have discovered, there is no job where communication skills are not required.
Yes.
And every job description I've ever seen or ever written, that communication skills has always been on there.
Yeah.
So always assume it's for communication skills.
And to be clear, communication skills mean, remember, communication is what the listener does, your ability to communicate clearly and respectfully. Mm-hmm. In the achievement of a goal, and when I say communicate, I mean both talk and listen. When other people talk, look at them. When they get done, smile, or say thank you, or, oh, that's good, or what does anybody else think? I've always seen when you're in a group, particularly if you're sitting around a round table, it's a bit like passing a medicine ball between one another or sliding something back and forth. Some companies sometimes, when they have meetings where they want to hear from everybody, they actually have to pass a tennis ball back and forth. I think that's a little much. I think it's a little too physical and it takes away from the flow of things and you lose the ability to kind of, not necessarily hijack, but piggyback on somebody else's good idea. And I'll tell you what communication skills also are, not interrupting. It's okay to interject, and if you don't know what the difference is, an interjection is something that the person who is already speaking doesn't feel obligates them to stop talking. So you could say, oh, that's great. And I could say that to Wendy, and she could keep talking. And that's an interjection, but it's not an interruption. An interruption is I start talking, and she feels she has to stop. You do a lot of interrupting, even if you do it with smiling and compliments as an, oh, what a great idea, and then take over, you're gonna be perceived as a bully. I don't know what, I'm trying to think of what the name is, but somebody who's dominant. And It's okay to be dominant. It's not okay to be dominant all the time. You have to be respectful. Now, obviously, we're still working toward a goal. And my weakness, of course, would be talking too much, obviously. And I should
and
be
mine would be sensitive. Interrupting.
Yeah, and mine too. And remember again, keep track of time. It may be that you could set a timer on your watch every minute, right? 1 minute's gone by or 2 minutes gone by. Although usually you get 5 minutes to read, but it's not a 5 minute problem solving.
No, it's usually
typically
20.
20 to 30 minutes, yeah. Typically. Yeah. Okay.
Talk about and, not but.
Oh gosh, yeah. So don't we have a podcast called And Not But?
We do, but
yeah. So generally speaking, this comes from grammar, that when you write a sentence, if you write a sentence and put a comma and put but, you can almost always, or you can always put and people will figure out it's the same thing. But as a joke, the joke about the word but, it means it stands behold the underlying truth. The word but emotionally, particularly in charged situations like this, especially when it's preceded by a comma, and it's a sentence with two clauses separated by comma and but, essentially says, what I said at the beginning, you should ignore. I'm now going to tell you what I think. Even if you say, that's a great idea, John, but you have essentially thrown John under the bus. In fact, our friend Marshall Goldsmith talks very much about adding too much value. Or, hey, that's wonderful, but have you thought about this? That's wonderful, but this is true as well. You can always say, that's wonderful, and this is true as well. And people will be able to draw the conclusion that the two ideas in some way are in conflict. The moment you say but, you're saying, not only are they just slightly in conflict, I am saying this in order to point out the distinctiveness of their conflict. In other words, I disagree with you is basically how it's heard emotionally. Now, some people say, well, Mark, technically but is more precise because there is a conflict. And I say, no, it's not more precise because communication is an emotional activity. Like it or not, you high C's, it is. I don't even like the fact that it is, but it is. And so therefore, it's not enough to be precise if in fact precision takes away from the group's ability to get things done. So therefore, anytime you're gonna say but, you have to say and. And frankly, even if you slip once, but you say and three or four times, you're going to get bonus points for it's okay to disagree. Guys, it is okay to disagree. It's totally fine. I've told this story recently three or four times about how people think of the military as being way too, everybody's got to be in lockstep. But Mike and I, when we were young officers, sat in a meeting with a bunch, when we were lieutenants, sat in a meeting with a bunch of colonels and captains and majors and a lieutenant colonel, and we were expected to have opinions. And those opinions were not supposed to be the same. We were supposed to bring our own thoughts to the table, and sometimes we were educated afterwards about how stupid we were, but we were expected to tell people what we thought. And then we would talk about it. And if your idea was the best one, other people were smart enough to go, I don't care who he is, that's the best idea in the world. And the military is really good at saying you have to have an opinion because you're going to be out on your own. And there's nobody to turn to. And you're going to have an opinion that says, we're going to go in this direction because I feel confident about it. And at the end, the colonel would make a decision. And then everybody, we would call that murdering the unchosen alternative. I voted for B, A won, and now I'm totally behind A. And if you can't comprehend and communicate out loud that there are different ideas at the table, and that both of them have value, and yet they are both in conflict, at least in part or significantly. If you can't communicate that in your grammar, and you're being a little bit dominant, you're gonna get dinged because you're perceived as being singular, as being selfish, as being egotistical, frankly, right?
Yeah.
Domineering, demanding, so on. Yeah.
Well, nice.
And if you're a high D, and guys, if you know your disc, duh, we should do a podcast about this.
We should.
If you're a high S, guys, you have to step forward sometimes. If you're a high C, don't correct everybody who say, I think it's 8, and say, well, actually it's 7.5. Now, all you're going to be thought of is being
pedantic.
Pedantic, the school marm, right? Which is not good.
Yeah.
And if you're a high I, it's really not about you, and you don't need to talk faster and louder than everybody else. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about, there's no such thing really as a
right answer. Right. Yeah.
In fact, there may be a right answer, mm-hmm. or there may be several right answers, but the right answer doesn't hold much value in the assessment.
Absolutely.
The assessment is more about the process, right, than about the right answer.
Yeah.
It'd be great if you had a perfect process and you got the right answer, but frankly, I'm not so sure when I think about assessments, sir, I wouldn't give too much credence to a group that necessarily got the right answer.
No.
I would be like 95% of that is the process.
Yeah, absolutely.
And in fact, in a lot of them, I think, thanks to the internet, I think the right answer is probably known by somebody in the group. And if they're not careful, they'll drive to the answer and they'll end up screwing the group in terms of the perception of its process and its team skills and so on. And that person will start saying, ooh, I need to tell that person that 6 is not right, it's 8. And suddenly there will be a vibe in the room that is not positive. And you've got to think the point here is process and not an end result.
Absolutely. We used to sometimes give people, we had a scenario that the right answer was irrelevant. And it's actually this scenario that we've put in the show notes for the people that have licenses. You can see a sample scenario.
Right.
But we used to use that scenario knowing that we didn't care whether they got the answer right or wrong. And then we used to tell them what the answer was. And the reaction to knowing the right answer after the scenario was still counted. So if somebody if somebody got very sulky or wanted to argue with us or, you know, just took it badly, that was a bunch of minus points on their sheet of paper.
Yeah, when I was 27, 28, 29, 30, maybe even 35, maybe even 40, I admit it, guys, I would have been driven to try to find the right answer. As I got older, I started realizing how process was more and more and more important. But you and I just commented on, I watched a movie called Somme about the Master Sommelier's test, the hardest test. People say it's the hardest test in the world because almost everyone fails every year. And one of the things they have to do is taste wine. And they never tell them what wines were the right, whether or not they got the right answers. They just say they passed or they failed. And both you and I literally could not deal with that concept. I put it in the Licensee Weekly newsletter, Things I Think I Think, and said, I would Kobayashi Maru that thing to figure out what the wines were.
And actually, if anybody knows the last question on the Mensa test, which is about a guy who goes down to the river and doesn't commit suicide, please tell me, because I've never found the answer to that question, and it's bugged me for 20 years.
Yeah. I think that it's okay to drive to an answer. I think you can't do the test and act as if the answer is not important, because if you're not careful, you'll end up being process correct but not show any progress, which would not be good.
Yeah.
But I think did we talk about the call center scenario earlier? Didn't you?
Yeah,
you mentioned a call center.
Yeah.
Think about it. There are multiple ways to solve problems, right?
Yeah.
You could send a new product. If there was an error, right? If we're trying to do what amounts to service recovery, which is a classic call or customer service team assessment, right? What are we going to do to help this person?
Yeah.
You could send them a voucher. You could send flowers. You could send a tech to their house. You could escalate. You could take extra time to explain the situation. And it depends on you and the situation on the phone and all kinds of things. None of those are inherently right or wrong. Obviously, you wouldn't want to spend $1 million on a $5 product. And they expect you to know something about customer service, but not a ton. And that's why they're going to assess the process that you use to get there and how you interact and how you communicate with other people. Now, you mentioned that we have a scenario in here. It just would take too long to go through the whole scenario. And many people can do a search on the internet. But basically, this scenario is a small plane crash.
Yeah.
And rather than going through it, you want to save everybody the time. Those of you who are licensees, career tools licensees, lucky you, the entire thing is put out. It talks about everything on the list and why that thing is valuable or not valuable. So now you'll know on this scenario what the right answer is. And in fact, what I would suggest if you were doing an interview, and hopefully you've got the interviewing series, one of the things we say in the interviewing series is audio tape your answers and then videotape yourself. I'll tell you what I would do. I would give this scenario out and I would put up a video camera and I would get 3 or 4 of my buddies and I would have an interaction.
Absolutely.
And don't tell your buddies anything other than you're helping me prepare for an assessment center. And one of them will be a jerk and one of them will be laid back, and tell them, look, be yourself, right? Do what you would do in an interview so that I can get used to dealing with a high D or a high S or a high C or whatever it might be.
Yeah.
And I can engage in the right behaviors. And then you guys don't need to watch, but I'll watch myself on the videotape afterwards.
That's an awesome idea.
Wouldn't that be, and it would be so, and it's 30 minutes, and look, I'll buy the beer, right?
Yeah.
Or I'll buy the wine. Come on over, have a barbecue.
That would be cool.
Yeah.
That would be so cool, especially if you're, in last year of college, and you're all in dorms, so you're all together anyway.
Yeah.
That would be.
But then they wouldn't be able to buy a beer because nobody has any money.
Okay.
I'm kidding. Yeah, cool. Sorry. And again, this is a chance for you to practice. And there are too many people who think practice is stuff that happens in your head.
Yeah.
And it's not. In fact, many of you are nodding your head and going, yeah, those are all good phrases. Ask yourself whether or not at work tomorrow or today you actually use those phrases. And the answer may be no. And life boils down to behavior all too often.
Yeah.
Okay, I think that's it, right?
Yep. So okay, read the information carefully. Think about what's being assessed. Choose what role to play in the context of the job and don't look for a right answer.
I think assessment centers give a lot of people anxiety because they don't know what's going to happen. And now you're a little bit, hopefully you're a little bit less anxious.
Yeah.
And that's a good thing.
Absolutely.
Good. Thanks all.
Bye everyone.
Hope that helped, folks. Too many people make too many bad assumptions and too many people don't wear watches when they go to assessment centers. Now you know.